Hi, good morning. It's good to be here. I felt since it's election day for cities and towns in Indiana as well as across the country, I was going to talk a little bit about politics and the status of our country. And that song actually is what we need to keep in mind, that Jesus keeps us singing, not a conservative person being elected. All right, if you put your trust in Paul Ryan as the Speaker of the House, you're in some bad position. So, all right. So, a little bit about politics. The chapter that comes to mind that best describes America is Isaiah chapter 5. This is a prophecy here about Israel, so it's not specifically talking about us. But I think there's some parallels here that we can learn from. At least we can recognize what our society is doing. And at the end, hopefully we don't end discouraged and depressed and sad. We still have a God. And even with the direction we're heading, think of the Christians that were thrown to lions and other things. They would love to just have to worry about boys claiming they were girls and going to the girls' locker room. They would love for that to be the "we're being persecuted" issue. Really, we have a lot to be thankful for, even with the direction we're heading in our country. So let's start off by reading from at the start of the chapter. "Now I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes." Bad fruit. This guy had done everything that was needed to allow this vineyard to produce quality fruit, and it did not. All right, verse 3. "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now I'll go too. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay waste, and it shall be pruned. It shall not be pruned, nor dug. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it." All right, so this vineyard was expected to produce stuff, and it didn't. So here the owner of the vineyard pulled away all the protections, allowed things to come in and trample the vineyard. We're talking about God here, so he's able to command the clouds to not rain upon it. All right, sends bad things to this vineyard, and it's trampled and destroyed. Verse 7 tells us what picture he's trying to draw here. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. For he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry." God had given to them everything they needed to serve and obey him. And when he looked to see that, he saw the opposite. Right? Verse 8 starts some famous statements. "Woe unto them." In verse 11, "woe unto them." We see here God listing out some of the things that he found in Israel that caused him to tear down this hedge and allow others to come and trample it, and for them to, here as the picture is, the vineyard to be ruined. Right? Now again, this is a prophecy about Israel. I don't have some special knowledge from God about destruction. Right? But I think we can learn from it. Right? What things were they doing that God had to point out in these woes? And there's a lot of scary parallels to our society. All right, and the direction we're heading. Well, let's look at it. Verse 8, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." And I had to look up to find out exactly what they're getting here, but the basic thought of this is they were greedy and buying a house and more land and more land, wanting to own everything. Talk about individual people being greedy and covetous. Right? Think about our society. Right? Think about how our politicians campaign. "I'll give you this. I'll give you that. I'll give you free health care. I'll give you more food stamps. Guy out of Chicago, just forgot his name. No, the guy running for president. Anyway, he has a little short commercials. One of them says, I'm going to fight for economic empowerment. I don't know exactly what that is, right? But he's fighting for it. But the point is, he's going to make it so you can be rich somehow. Right? Our politicians have learned that we're greedy and selfish, and they cater their message that direction. It would be refreshing, and the guy would lose, to have somebody stand up and say, you know what? I'm going to cut all the funding to the National Department of Education. We'll let the states pay for their own schools. And you know what? We're going to give you we'll give you 2 weeks of food stamps, and then you got to find a job. And you know, Stark, I mean, the guy would get laughed at and mocked and never elected, because we have become so greedy and covetous as a group. And unfortunately, in our system, too often the way to get that stuff is through the government, and that's a dangerous way. At least in a free market system, you got to buy it from other people. Now we can just go to the government, have them give it to us. There's all kinds of examples. In fact, just the Chicago Teachers Union has threatened to strike if they're not paid enough money. And their total compensation, I've heard the number, is $120,000 a year per teacher. Anybody want to go work in those grievous conditions? I'll work. Okay. All right. That includes insurance and retirement and everything. But $120,000, and they're threatening to go on strike. Right. And it's easy. It's all those stupid people. But we can be the same way, all right? And how much can I get? What's in it for me? I'll come if you're paying me, all right? Covetousness. I mentioned our politicians. They campaign by giving stuff away to people. You know, Obamacare, supposedly cheap medical coverage. If you want to follow some ironic things, they're coming out now with reports about all these health exchanges that were started to provide all this cheap coverage, and I think the number was 23 or 24% increase in the premiums this year. I remember it's going to be cheap. And in Illinois, it was 22 out of 25 of the new insurance companies that were started under Obamacare lost money last year, and four of them have gone bankrupt already. Right. But it was sold to us as a way that's going to be cheap insurance, and it'll be great. And they played on their greediness. All right, that's what they played on. All the way around. It's easy to just point number of fingers out there, but think about us. How greedy are we? Are we satisfied with what God has given us? Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't hope you get a raise at work. We want you to pay your school bills, because I want to get a paycheck. It's very good. But are we greedy? Are we greedy? Are we always looking at somebody else? I wish I had that job. I wish I had that car. I wish I had this or that. Just be content. Right? Here, these people were greedy, always seeking, always trying to draw more stuff to them. And that was one of the things that God pointed out here, was a woe, woe unto them. And we should, I think, take that same warning. All right, the next one, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. I know the kitchen breakfast has been revised, but I don't think it includes that. I hope. That continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. If you flip over, at least for me, flip over to verse 22, we have the same basic thought hit at again. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. I hear the thought that comes out to me is, people that are completely given over to, entertainment and fun. Think of how much of our society, how many people, if they have a beer and cable TV and the lights are on, they don't care what happens. Just entertain me. All right. Think about you. If you're cut off from the YouTube for a week, the sweat start to break out. I need to be entertained. Are you guys cut off from YouTube already? It's already cut off? It's kind of. All right, so some of you are just convulsing. Right. But that entertainment, we can be the same way. Oh, you know, I deserve. No, we don't. We don't deserve that. And these people were given completely over to entertainment and here strong drink and partying and sinful things. Hopefully that's not the entertainment you're looking after. But given completely over to entertainment. Verse 12, the second half says, but they regard not the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. That should be our focus. I want to serve God. So I had a long week. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to think about what God has done. I'm going to think about how God wants to use me. I'm going to think about those kids on my bus route or in my Sunday school class. It's okay if I don't get to be entertained as much as I think I should. I'm going to serve God. Right? Next week, some of you are going to be entertaining a bunch of teenagers. It's going to be a whole lot of work for you in those rooms on Monday night and other places. It's okay if I don't get to play. That's fine. Serve God. And you guys, enjoy it while you have it. Enjoy it while you have it. They are completely given over to this party lifestyle and entertainment. And that's our culture. All right, movies and music and drinking, just everything. It's entertain me and I'll be happy. And that was one of the woes given to them back here in the Old Testament. Let's drop down to verses 18 and 19. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten to his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. At the first verse, 18, there talks about drawing iniquity with cords. The thought is they weren't able to grab enough with their hands, so they had to get ropes and wrap it up and drag it to them, like a cowboy lassoing a cow or something. They had to take ropes and draw it to them. The draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if it were a cart rope, a whole load of sin. They couldn't carry it without all these extra things. The thought here to me is plunging deeper and deeper into sin. Okay? I know I sound like an old man to you, and it might actually be true. thank you. But in the last 7 or 8 years, last 4 or 5 years, we have just plunged over the edge into sinfulness and wickedness, like at least in my time I've never seen. I mean, 6 or 7 years ago, gay marriage was, what? What are you talking about? And now if you're against gay marriage, you're a bigot. You're prejudiced. Just diving into it as a society. The whole LGBTQ society, the Q is for questioning, if you're not sure. If you're a guy or a girl. I just saw a headline of a college that's establishing a third gender of neutral. Think of the filthiness and the sickness there. And we're embracing it. We're being told that we're bigoted. Right? It's insane. Think of Planned Parenthood selling baby body parts. I mean, abortion is bad enough, killing a baby, but then go on and sell the body parts and have open discussions at these little social cocktail gatherings we're at and talking about the price as if we're talking about exchanging, buying ears of corn or something. And our Congress, run by Republicans, can't defund it. It's getting money from government. And we can't defund it. We're not even talking about making it illegal. We're just saying, you know what, we don't think we need to give you government money for that. And we couldn't do that. That's sick. Sick. That's our society. Diving into sin. There are two things that happened just in the last couple of days. Or one is actually happening today. Houston, anybody hear about what's happening in Houston? The Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, HERO. All right, this protects different classes of people, and amongst those protected are people with issues. Gender identity is a protected class. So that in Houston, if this passes, if a guy claims he's a girl and goes into the girl's bathroom, it's illegal to stop him. Houston Equal Rights Ordinance. Caleb wants to go back to Canada. We'll follow you. That's sick. The mayor of that city is she is a very, very radically liberal woman. She's the one that a couple months ago, 6 or 7 months ago, was wanting all of the pastor's sermons so she could edit them and make sure there was nothing in there talking about gender identity and that kind of thing. So we're talking about a crazy liberal city here. But it's actually coming up for a vote today. And we don't know which way it's going to go. Think about that. We don't know. That's crazy. This is printed from the Northwest Indiana Times yesterday. City of Palatine. You know where that is? The Edwards and others. It's candy cell territory. There's an unnamed student here. Wonder who it is. Okay. There was a transgender girl. That's the wording. That's a boy who claims he's a girl. Transgender girl. That the school district has allowed to play on the girls' teams. They call him. I don't want to say her. They call him by female pronouns, by a female name. She's allowed to, is allowed to use the locker room, the girls' locker room, but has to change behind a curtain. And the National Department of Education ruled that they are violating his civil rights. He needs unrestricted access to the girls' locker room. Okay? I mean, this is Palatine. It's down the road here. We sell candy there. To me, we jumped in the rabbit hole with Alice, and we're in wonder. You know, this is crazy. Think of the parents of the other girls. Their rights don't count. Right? It's this one boy who claims he's a girl, and that's all it is. He claims he's a girl. I mean, he's been persistent with it. He's got a passport as a female, and some other thing. But it's just a boy who claims he's a girl. And our National Department of Education declared that the school district is in violation, and if they don't comply, they're going to strip, I think it's about $6 million worth of funding away from. From what last I've heard, the school district said, no, well, we don't want the money. All right, hopefully then they kick the guy out of the locker room. But it's sick. Let me read you a couple quotes here. This is from the lady who made the ruling. All students deserve the opportunity to participate equally in school programs and activities. This is a basic civil right. Remember what we're talking about. It sounds like a nice statement, yeah. No, we're talking about a guy that thinks he's a girl. All our client wants is to be understood. She wants to be, this is not me speaking, this is a quote, she wants to be accepted for who she is and to be treated with dignity and respect like any other student. That's her lawyer. The district's insistence on separating my client from other students is blatant discrimination. Rather than approaching the issue with sensitivity and dignity, the district has attempted to justify its conduct by challenging my client's identity as a girl. It seems like pretty decent grounds. But just, we've gotten to the point where you can just decide. I think I'm a boy. I think I'm a girl. I don't know what we do with a schizophrenic that goes back and forth. It really is, it boils down to, I don't have the quotes here, but I've some people have asked, well, how do we decide if they're a boy or a girl? Well, it's whatever they say. And we're talking about gender. When it isn't, do you want vanilla or chocolate? Are you a boy or a girl? And it's going to be whatever they say. And if you disagree with them, it's discrimination. Okay. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity. Okay, that's our society. That's our society. The superintendent of the school said, parents have made it resoundingly clear that they favored, and this is the quote, maintaining some measure of privacy expectations. Talking about the locker room, you know, maybe reasonable that if the girls go in the locker room to change, that there's not going to be boys there. Maybe reasonable. And he's saying that the parents have been really clear about this. All right, it is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. All right, but that describes us. Here, God told Israel he's going to strip this stuff away, remove the protections. Describes us. All right, let's go on to verse 20. Another verse that describes us. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Just rehash what we just talked about. You think a guy shouldn't be in a girl's locker room, you're a bigot, prejudiced. You deserve to go to jail. Call evil good. That put darkness for light, light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. All upside down. You think marriage is between a guy and a girl? Crazy position, I know. Then you're the bigot. You're the one that needs to be punished. Not the queers that come here and demand to be married in our sanctuary. They're not doing anything wrong. They just love each other, and who are you to discriminate? It's upside down. Since it's election day, if you think we should have some sort of ID to vote, you're a racist. And that's the claim. Oh, you racist. How would you expect people to get an ID? I read an article once that said at the Democratic National Convention there was somebody selling things. I think it was like campaign memorabilia and stuff. And you had to show an ID to prove who you were to buy this stuff at the Democratic Convention. But to go vote, well, I guess if we're going to allow you to claim you're a girl if you're a boy, then surely you could just say, well, yes, I'm a citizen. I feel like it. But it turns it all upside down. It's not something we want to have a clean and fair election. It's you're a racist. If you're against abortion, then you hate women and you're against women's rights. If you discipline your children, if you spank them, you're described as abusing them. I was just talking to somebody last week that told a coworker about getting spanked by his father. It was something like not eating all his food or something like that. And a couple weeks later, the guy said, oh, I felt bad that you were abused by your dad. All right. Hopefully you were abused by your dad in that same fashion. But it's so twisted. Good is evil. Evil is good. Right? Twisted. I have here boys in the girls' locker room. This is a rabbit trail. But think of a guy who can't play sports that wants to play sports. This will never happen, I know. I'm a girl. Play on the girls' team. They're not nearly as good. Sorry, girls. That'll never happen. But we're opening a door for that type of idiocy. Okay, these people have mental problems. Okay, they have a sin problem. They're not normal. Okay, but our culture, our government, our president is telling us that we have a problem. Okay, it's upside down from the way it should be. Call evil good, good evil. 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I've got it all figured out. We have determined that gender is a state of mind, that marriage is any two groups of people, any two, I don't know. It's not a guy and a girl. We've determined it. And we're not going to listen to God. We're not going to listen to anybody. On a maybe funnier note, I like to think about global warming. Wise in their own eyes. All right, it really... If it wasn't so aggravating to read what the global warming people claim, it is funny. They say, oh, in 100 years, this, and this is going to happen. But just go and ask, well, what's going to happen next week? I have no idea. There was that last big storm that hit the coast of the east coast of America. I forget the name of it. I happened to be at a hotel and was watching the weather report. The day before it was going to hit. And they showed three different trajectories because they really didn't know. And that was the next day. Those same people say, without question, you're an idiot if you doubt us, that in 100 years, We're going to have melting ice caps and massive global warming. Where's Astrid? She'll be all over that. All right. Think of this verse, wise in their own eyes. That's us. And we're the same way across the board. We don't need to reference God about how to deal with children. We don't need to reference God about marriage or the family or sin. We've got it all figured out. That's our society. It can also be us, wise in our own eyes. The next verse, 22, where I talked about the wine and the drinking. Verse 24 now. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. And it goes on to describe the punishments that's coming. Right. I hope this doesn't happen, but we are following the same pattern as Israel, and we shouldn't expect anything else as a nation. We have thrown God out. Okay? Other nations haven't existed for a long time, so we don't know, but we have thrown God out. Now, if this does happen, and I've thought about this, I'm not looking forward to it, but if it does, there are actually going to be some positive signs. Right now, all those people that as long as they have the beer and their cable and the lights are on are happy. Shake their world up a little bit. And then go knock on their door and tell them, you know what? There's a God. All right? There's a whole lot of people that are complacent, and they're not going to listen to a thing. But you shake things up, it'll provide an opportunity for us. And as much as I enjoy a comfortable life, what's more important? Really. In heaven, as I imagine these people in hell, well, I say, well, but I had a nice house. It's not going to matter. Okay? This shouldn't be something that we dread and fear. It will provide opportunities for us to witness that aren't here now. Okay? All right, to finish this up, our conclusion, what should we do? Should we run screaming for the hills and out in the Rocky someplace and become hermits? What should we do? Go to Canada, go to Belize. I think it's still illegal to be a queer in Belize. I don't like it. All right. What should we do? I just have two things. The first, trust God, obey God, and look for ways to witness. We can trust God. Right? We don't have to be that worried, that concerned. We don't have to stay awake at night wondering what's going to happen when they come here and want to get married here. Or when they apply to go to our school, trust me, girls, if some girl that's a boy shows up, he's not getting in, okay? He's not getting in. But what's going to happen when they come here? Oh, they'll strip away our tax exempt status. They'll do this. God knows all that. We can trust God. We can look for ways to witness. We can go knock on doors. There's other people. Most people look at this and think, wow, we're idiots. This is insane. Well, so, you know, well, that's because God says it's insane, right? Gives us opportunities to witness. And then the last thing I want to point out is here, we should do our part to stem the tide. We live in a country where we get to vote, where we can write our politicians, where we can go see our politicians. I'm in the middle of setting up a meeting with one of the Democratic leaders in the Indiana House who has come out already stating he wants to push for gender identity to be a protected class in Indiana. The guy's a crazy liberal, right? I'm trying to set up a meeting to go talk to him. I'm not going to yell at him, but if he does push this, I'm going to say, I want you to know, I'm the one that's going to jail. Right? It's my school that's going to lose its funding. Just so you know, this isn't some nameless face. We can go talk to these people. We can write them. We can vote, and shame on us if we don't, okay? We can sit here and complain, oh, it's all bad. What are you doing, okay? What are we doing? We can do something. The primary thing, trust God, serve God. But he did put us in a country where we can partake, and I think we should. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Repeat those two questions. or two encouragements. Trust God, get busy serving him, and do your part. Do you ever do anything to turn the tide, politically speaking? As the instruments play, let's go ahead and stand at our feet. If you need to come deal with God, just after I pray, sorry. If you need to deal with God, come on down.